Okay, hi everybody, and we are continuing now with the rules for magic on the astral plane. We're in the third such rule, which is rule 9. We've done rules 7 and 8, and we're in the midst of rule 9, and that great and long rule 10 is coming. So let's see where we are here. We're at the beginning of commentary program number 16 in these rules for magic of the astral plane, and we're on page 265. Remember that for the time being on Makara, you can pick up the first 50 programs, and so here we have another 16 soon. He talks about the four forms, the form of the personality, the form of the environment, the form of the devotee, and finally the form of the causal body. And this is a very interesting, you know, just as a bridging statement, a very interesting kind of paragraph here about what it's like to be utterly bereft of the causal body, and that moment of agony, that moment of bitterness when it becomes necessary to relinquish the masterpiece of many lives, the bitterness of drinking that cup of karma and feeling unutterably bereft. But there is a huge compensation, and as a sort of a bridging paragraph, we will use what he says here. Conscious then only of the innate divine spirit, conscious only of the truth of Godhead, realizing profoundly and to the depths of his being the ephemeral nature of the form and of all forms, standing alone in the vortex of initiatory rites, bereft of all on which he may have leaned, be it friend, master, doctrine, or environment, well may the initiate cry out, "I am that I am, and there is naught else." You know, what is the name of God? I am that I am. It's a bit like the Leo phrase, the mantra, "I am that and that I am." I am that I am, and there is naught else. Well may he then figuratively place his hand in that of the Father in heaven, his Father in heaven, and hold the other out in blessing on the world of men. For only the hands that have let slip all within the three worlds are free to carry the ultimate blessing to struggling humanity. I have filled in a few ideas here that you will have from the previous program. And it reminds us, of course, of the idea that the Buddha tells us we must give up the phenomenal world, give up the lower 18 subplanes, although he didn't refer to them in that way, give up the world of phenomena, and perhaps that even includes the causal body, the lower 21 subplanes. Then he builds for himself a form such as he desires, a new form that is no longer subject to shattering, but suffices for his need to be discarded or used as occasion warrants. So this takes us to our transition point. Like I say, we could spend a long time on all of these paragraphs, but I share with you that which occurs to me, and you will have other impressions as you read, and hopefully some of what I share will be useful to you. So he goes on then in this program, 9.4. In these days, you will need to ponder on this matter of form. For with the entering in of a new ray and the commencement of a new era comes ever a period of much disruption until the forms that be have adapted themselves to the newer vibration. And, you know, obviously, we are in just such a period of disruption, with the sixth ray having begun to pass out since 1625 and due to disappear on that particular ray cycle, which is the lesser one, a racial ray cycle, we might say, by the year 2125, let us say, and significantly much before that. And the seventh ray having begun to come in since 1685, but really, I think if you think about Master R or the Sir Francis Bacon, that with his life, which supposedly ended at least in, I think, around the year 1616, that seventh ray was very much being presented, at least through his work. Okay, there's the need to adapt ourselves now to the new vibration. And once he said, I think, that only those whose monads are on the sixth ray will have trouble in the adaptation to the incoming seventh ray. And he did use the word monads. And I think you can find this in the Destiny of the Nations. So adaptability and disruption, and we find reactionary people holding on to the past that is characterized by the sixth ray, and we can understand why they are holding on, and maybe all that they think they know and stands for all that is good, all that is familiar, and all that opens up the way to their desires, often the desire for paradise or heaven. In that adaptation, those who have cultivated pliability and adaptability, sounds like a third ray adaptation, maybe even a seventh ray, I don't know, third ray or seventh ray adaptation, because it doesn't necessarily mean that the seventh ray type has to be rigid. There can be quite a bit of suppleness and flexibility. I guess all we need to do is look at the ballet dancer presenting with the perfect form and suppleness and the flexibility of the body accordingly. In that adaptation, those who have cultivated pliability and adaptability, or who have that for their personality ray, and I would say maybe fourth ray comes in here as well, progressed with less disruption than those more crystallized and fixed. I suppose crystallization and fixity can go along with the first ray, but generally they don't let changes get in their way, and certainly the sixth ray type, sixth ray type is known for its crystallization and fixity, but first ray also. Particularly now, should pliability and responsiveness of form be aimed at, for when he whom we all adore comes. Wow, what a statement from a master, huh? Very moving, really, somehow. When he whom we all adore comes, think you his vibration will not cause disruption if crystallization is present? It was so before, it will be so again, and even more so. and those upon the sixth ray who expect something different will be surprised, very much surprised. You know, some people think it's only necessary to have the good book, as it were, and to read in the good book and believe what the good book says, and to hold rigidly, we might almost say, to what the good book says, the so-called good book. But it's very different because a whole new dispensation, which is much discussed in the reappearance of the Christ, will be offered. I think that would be a very good book to offer commentary upon, and in a way, Tuya is already doing this with her weekly reappearance readings before the reappearance meditation. Of course, this is the year 2018. I don't know when you may be going through this video. Could be quite a bit later. Cultivate responsiveness to the great ones. Aim at mental expansion and keep learning. This is advice, you know. So here it follows. Okay. Here follows good advice. Cultivate responsiveness to the great ones and not to their astral, often falsely complimentary reflections. Cultivate responsiveness to the great ones. Aim at mental expansion. How can you help it when you read DK's books? And keep learning. Think whenever possible in abstract terms or numerical. The Antikorana will help us do this. And by loving all, work at the plasticity of the astral body, not just loving some who are favorites and who seem to please us, but loving all. In love of all that breathes comes capacity to vibrate universally, and in that astral pliability will come responsiveness to the vibration of the great Lord. So this is very good advice about how to prepare for the coming of the great Lord. And, you know, I just want to, since it is so important, I make it bigger so that when we read about it later, it makes sense to us. Cultivate responsiveness to the great ones. Aim at mental expansion. Again, DK's books, Secret Doctrine, Great Theosophical Works. And keep learning at every moment. Live, love, and learn. It's such solid ancient advice. Think whenever possible in terms abstract or numerical. So see the true meaning of things through spiritual discernment and through the abstract mind, and understand the pattern behind the form that has taken shape. And by loving all, work at that plasticity of the astral body. I guess Neptune will help at the second initiation with the plasticity. In love of all that breathes, and I guess that's whatever form the universe takes, including the universal form as part of the great breath. In love of all that breathes, even that which threatens the form, I suppose, even in the enemy, at least the essence, loving the essence of that. In love of all that breathes comes capacity to vibrate universally, and in that astral pliability will come responsiveness to the vibration of the great Lord. We really do need to prepare for his coming, because when he comes, how will we recognize him if we simply look for how he was in the earlier days, or how he seemed to be? There he appeared publicly for 3 years, and also was not so much presenting himself in his Maya Virupa, maybe he did to his disciples, that's hard to say, but using the form of Jesus, and maybe that type of use was discussed in their circles. It can't happen until, well, Jesus was an initiate of the third degree, but it can't happen until one is minimally an initiate of the second degree, with the sixth petal fully unfolded. One of the interesting things that DK does offer here, not here but elsewhere. This summation of process and of the forms is equally true of God and his cosmic creative work. The form of the personality, the form of the environment, far vaster. The form of the devotee, every being has his object or state of devotion, and the form of the causal body. We are told about the causal body of the planetary logos and the solar logos and their location on the cosmic mental plane. So it's equally true of God, of the soul as it builds its instrument for expression, either consciously in the unconsciously in the early stages or consciously in the later, of the disciple as he seeks to express his realization of the work through group work and the organization of his life, and of perfected man as he learns through experience to center his forces on the mental plane and from there accomplish his purpose in generating and producing those thought forms which mold the minds of men and embody in themselves that aspect of universal mind which is needed for the right production of that immediate fraction of the plan which his age and generation require. So basically DK is saying, this is true as well of the accomplished white magician. So these various forms have to be attended to at different stages of expression and of encompassment. Obviously, such forms for a planetary logos or solar logos are far different in scope than they are for the man. It's interesting here about this building forms unconsciously or later consciously. I think that, how does that unconscious building go on? How much control does the solar angel have at that time that it comes around again when incarnation is required? How much planning goes into it, or how many secondary forces based upon the personality's inclinations take over? Because in a way, the soul does not become a downward gazing soul until a certain stage of development is reached. And we might say, I suspect that work within the fifth petal, which corresponds to the man's becoming an aspirant, is a time when you can have the truly downward gazing soul. Before that, perhaps the soul participates, but not with such care and exactitude. More on this needs to be revealed, and perhaps has been revealed in the books, if we could get the information together. All these various applications of the rule could be elucidated and enlarged upon. In other words, the forms related to all these types of beings, souls, planetary logoi, solar logoi, the disciple, etc. So, as always, it's the law of analogy and the various parallelisms, which are not always entirely exact, but are sufficiently exact to give us an idea of the structure of things, and to fill in with knowledge what otherwise might be left a blank if we had not used the law of analogy, and especially the law, the more detailed law of correspondences. It makes me want to, you know, sort of go through every one. You know, even the personality is liable to be at first relatively inchoate when compared with the personality of a more advanced type who has had more incarnational experience, and that would apply to a planetary logos or solar logos and so forth. We, from history or from the inner spiritual history, we don't yet know what those forms look like, but it will be within our range to see. All kinds of knowledge is possible. The question is, what is really relevant knowledge, relevant to our particular context, to the state in which we find ourselves, and within the being in which we majorly find ourselves. As I've said, we might be interested to know what kind of mining industry might be developed on the planet Pluto, given the kinds of minerals, etc., that are there, but it's not exactly what we need to know in order to progress properly on this earth and as executives of the divine plan, executors of the divine plan. Our problem, however, must be kept clearly in mind, so DK does not go into all possible expansions here of the forms in relation to the different types of beings. We are conscious souls or in process of becoming conscious. Well, we maybe have discovered ourselves as the soul in incarnation. Maybe we have done that and can abstract from all those personality states with which we formerly identified ourselves. We are beginning, through our meditation work and our application to study, to work on mental levels. And notice how he says, we. Well, obviously he's done this long ago, but he has, you might say, identified with us, so that when he thinks of us, he is very much a participant with us, and even as what we are, as us. We are beginning, through our meditation work and our application to study, to work on mental levels. We are creating forms continuously, pervading them with energy, and sending them out to fulfill their function in line with our realized objective purpose. You know, somehow, willy-nilly, how do you spell that? Willy, good old Willy. Let's see if I can do that. Willy-nilly, I guess that's a funny word. He gives me willingly. Well, you know what I mean. We are participating in the magical process at different levels of consciousness or unconsciousness. Obviously, we want to become conscious magicians. And right now, so much of what we create is by the way and without our knowledge that creation has indeed occurred. The emphasis should be laid upon the word realized in the above paragraph. Let's see if we find that. Realized subjective purpose. That's the key. We may have a subjective purpose, but has it really dawned upon us? And what has dawned upon us, is it really accurate? The emphasis should be laid upon the word realized in the above paragraph, according to the clarity of vision and the depth of the inner realization. So will be the adequacy of the created form, and so will be the strength of the life, which will enable it to perform its function. So, intended function. So this is, we might say, we are treading the conscious way. And realization is one of our major goals on a high level. It pertains to the fifth level of the atmic plane, the plane of realization. So, according to the clarity of vision and the depth of the inner realization, so will be the adequacy of the created form. And so will be the strength of the life, the vitality, right, which will enable it to perform its intended function. We are always being magicians, unconscious or conscious, effective or ineffective. And we're learning now how to be effective white magicians, expressing the magic of the soul on behalf of the divine plan and even eventually the divine purpose. Up to the present time, the majority of aspirants in the world express the results of little and weak thought, but rapid action, you know. It's very myopic, you might say. Flying into action in this way without proper thought is very myopic. The goal for students should be at this time rapid concentrated thought and slow action. Now, remember what is said, if we can find it. Sometimes things get left out of the CD-ROM, but the wise use of slow action is the way of the second ray type. So this correlates what he's asking for here, rapid concentrated thought and slow action. This correlates with the way of the second ray disciple. That slow action, however, will be potent in result. There will be no lost motion. So you might say, let third ray types attend to this. No delayed reactions and no tendency towards hesitation. All moving on with due deliberate speed, all rightly timed. The attention of the thinker being focused on the mental plane, the progress of his manifested thought will be sure and inevitable. And we'll get rid of that sort of might work, might not, that kind of chanciness that occurs with not thinking a thing through, but still flying into action. You know, the old Aries mantram, ready, fire, aim. Okay. When the idea is clearly grasped, the attention closely focused, and the energy of life aspect steadily applied, the result will be irresistible appearance and potent action on the physical plane. So this is one of Master DK's statements. You might say all that is said here is meant to help us become effective white magicians. Right. Well, it's a reversal, isn't it? Because, you know, act fast, keep going, but if thought is not there, the result will not be satisfactory. This thought must be borne in mind if the dangers of the left-hand path are to be avoided. So let us clearly grasp the idea, and let us call it rightly the idea presented by the soul, if this is to be white magic. The attention clearly focused in the mind held steady in the light, and sufficient vitality brought to bear. And then we will, due to our correct motivation, setting our form upon the proper path, be effective in the field of white magic. But I think the thing to bear in mind is that we are always busy creating things, creating thoughts, creating various types of subtle and even more gross forms. And what is the quality of our creativity? This is what we are seeking to understand. This thought must be borne in mind if the dangers of the left-hand path are to be avoided. Let me here make some statements in brief tabulated form, which will produce a truer understanding of the words left-hand path. Well, we need that, because there's so much glamour around it. We want to understand what the path of form is. Probably in the previous solar system, it was the way to go, although unquestionably there must have been a divine plan. We are dealing here primarily with those thought forms which man creates. There are many types of great thought forms, including zodiacal thought forms, anchored by hierarchy on the, on the subtle planes, just call it that. It may be even the astral plane, but that happened long ago, and he tells us about it probably, I suspect, again in the next chapter. As you can probably see, the light of the blazing sun in temperate or cold Finland is taking its toll, and I, like a pile of wax, am experiencing a kind of meltdown here, but I think I can forge ahead in this sunlight until this program is completed. So what about the left-hand path? Because we need to learn to avoid it, and we're not safe with it, with that avoidance, until we've chosen correctly when presented with the temptations in the desert, following the second initiation. Okay. The left-hand path concerns the matter aspect, and the life poured into the form serves only to vitalize the atoms in substance. The potency of the love aspect is wielded by the soul is lacking. He tells us that some magnetism related to love can be wielded selfishly by the one who treads the left-hand path, and especially the black magician. Okay, let's see if I can get that. Black magician, right. Okay, so the matter aspect is what concerns us when we think of the left-hand path. I do have kind of a memory once. I was going to an arcane school meeting. I was a member of the Lucis Trust at the time, and I met a guy, and he was going too, and interesting guy. And he had a lot of the fifth ray, and he was saying to me, I'm interested in matter, only in matter. And he was making a very strong point, and somehow I just, it impressed me, you know, that this was a different approach, and that the love energy per se was not really part of what he wanted to accomplish, or even an area of interest for him. Now, more on the left-hand path. The form created is constituted of mental matter, of astral matter, and of physical substance. It lacks the soul contribution. Its purpose is in line with the development of form, but not in line with soul expression, and we might say this is the way it was in the previous previous major solar system. Well, of course, the form had to be developed, and the third ray is, after all, the foundation of the emergence of the second ray. But there comes a point when we have to stop working on the foundation and start working more on the substance of love. So I guess the main point here is that it lacks soul contribution. It's not a white magical form. So what we have, what is created by these brothers, they are homo nezer brothers of the left-hand path, lacks the content of love, of soul, of mutually advantageous relationship, or mutually advantageous, cohesive relationship. Okay. Well, you know, these things are very important to know because, as I say, so much glamour is surrounding this idea of the left-hand path. The left-hand path, therefore, is the path of progress for substance or matter. Well, sometimes substance can be used in a philosophical manner and can relate to something very high, like we might say that love substands the quality of matter, and that will substands the quality of love. But here we generally, when we talk about substance, we're talking about a type of matter which is of a higher nature than that which it substands. The astral matter substands etheric. Etheric substands dense physical matter. That's the way it works. Mental matter substands the astral matter. So the left-hand path, therefore, is the path of progress for substance or matter. Now, this is not necessarily incorrect. It is a question of timing and motive. It is not the path of progress for the soul aspect in this second. Okay. Soul aspect. Let's see what's going on here. Okay. Okay. We might say that in this second major solar system, the solar system of divine love. It is not the way, path of progress for the soul aspect, but of course you can constantly improve the form if it works under the motivation of the soul. We're always trying to do that, to come up with better techniques that involve the form in order to express the soul. So we cannot say that we should not have progress for substance or matter as long as it is under the guidance of soul motivation. But it is not the path of progress for the soul aspect per se. It is the way of the Holy Ghost, but not the way of the Son of God. Well, the Holy Ghost, of course, is very important in our system as long as it is subservient to the Son of God. We're in a solar system that can be called the system of the divine Son. I express this truth in these words as it serves peculiarly to make the distinction clear and yet preserves the integrity of substance matter and their unity within the one life. We are not trying to do away with substance matter as usually considered, not at all. But we are trying in our solar system to put first things first. Now we go on to the next of these sort of epitomes. I mean, we really wouldn't want to do away with the Holy Ghost, would we? But we would not want to emphasize one aspect of divinity in perpetuity, forgetting about the importance of the others. We might say in a very profound way that those who follow the left-hand path surely are afraid of the energy of love. They feel it will compromise them, reduce them, make them lose what they are, somehow tear their accomplishments from them, because they, after all, have to give all. And without giving all cannot be received. But that is the peculiar fear. They are clinging their acquisitions to themselves. Okay, onward. All forms created at every stage are either confined to the left-hand path or embrace it, and yet go beyond it and follow the right-hand way. So, you know, like I say, form is necessary. But if continued according to its own values, its own values and tendencies alone, it proves obstructive. The members of the Black Lodge are called the Brothers of Form. They are also called the Forces of Obstruction. This sentence provides food for thought, and its meaning is difficult to gather. Form must be sustained, all previous acquisitions must be used, but the motivation changes, and the context in which the use occurs is no longer personal and selfish. And for the sake of the perpetuation of the form is sacrificed to the expression of the second aspect of divinity. I mean, rather than have its preservation attempted under all costs, at all costs, usually the cost of the love energy. So this sentence provides food for thought, and its meaning is difficult to gather. I'm thinking about some of these people, that horrible people that try to live off the blood and vitality of others, you know, in various points in history. And it was all so that they could maintain the youthfulness of the form. They would vampirize, rob, steal the vitality of others, so they thought, resulting in so much carnage and horror. And the motive was to simply sustain their own form. It was deep selfishness. It should be borne in mind that all forms, whether they follow the right or left-hand path, you know, let the magician place his form upon the proper path, the right or left-hand way, are alike up to a certain point. And this is interesting, very interesting. Not only are the forms alike to a certain point, but the white, what have we got here? But the white magician and the black magician are also alike up to a certain point. After all, they can both take the second initiation, and they can both stand before the Christ in this era, when the Christ is the initiator. And that is a shocking thing to contemplate. As I've said, I'm sure that the great ones see the potentials for evil doing in such an initiate. But everyone must be left to the exercise of his or her own free will. They travel the same progressive stages, and at one time in their career, they appear uniform and alike, these forms. But how are these forms used, and with what motive? So we ask ourselves then, we create all the time, consciously or unconsciously, and when we can get some sort of mental grasp on all this, what are the motives of our creations? But when their purpose appears, only when their purpose appears, does the distinction become apparent, and hence the training of the aspirant in right motive as the preparatory step to true occult work. Well, you know, you can have a gun, and will it be used aggressively to undermine freedom, let's say, or will it be used in the cause of freedom? A gun is a gun, but how does it fit into the purpose for which it is used, and thus with any form? Motive becomes the higher factor to consider. And motive often has a lot to do with the orientation of the astral body, and of course it's a higher thing yet. It's whether we can grasp the orientation of the soul and the orientation even of higher aspects of our nature. So what we've done here, I hope, let me just check here. Are there any other? Looks like we have, yeah, we're almost to rule 10. That great rule, a big one. And we have finished looking at the succinct statements about the words left-hand path. It serves only the matter aspect. Okay. It lacks soul contribution, although interestingly he tells us some quite powerful black magicians do work upon the higher mental plane. It's a path of progress for substance or matter, It's not the path of progress for the soul. And all forms are alike for quite a while, but they have to show themselves and prove themselves according to the purpose for which they are created and according to how they are used. So I'll just sort of put this in the highlighter so we'll understand a little more about the left-hand path. The question might be asked, what is meant by occult work? True occult work involves, okay, it's got to be important, doesn't it? Because we are all seeking to be workers in what I quite persistently call spiritual occultism these days, because occultism per se has such a bad name due to superstition and the common understanding of investigators, not the enlightened understanding. True occult work involves the contacting of the plan. Well, we all have to ask ourselves, to what extent have we done this and what has been the result? Right desire to cooperate with the plan. I mean, we know the members of the Black Lodge are constantly trying to find out what really is the plan so they can obstruct it. I guess the higher aspects of the plan are concealed from them. So, and what a great responsibility it is on our part if aspects of the plan should be vouchsafed to us, given to us, and we have to protect those things, both by word of mouth and by thought. The work of thought form building and the confining of the attention of the creator of these thought forms to the mental plane, that comes first always, but we have to add the other vehicles to the thought form. This is of so potent a nature that the thought form created, thought forms created, have a life cycle of their own and never fail to manifest and perform their work, and we might say, somehow, you know. Assad Jolie did emphasize that every thought created has its own, even if tiny, physical effect. The direction of the thought form from the mental plane and the confining of the attention to that specific enterprise, knowing that right thought and right orientation lead to correct functioning and the sure avoidance of the left-hand path. So we have seen what true occult work involves: contacting the plan, right desire to cooperate with the plan, thought form building upon the mental plane, and directing the thought form to the correct path. Knowing that right thought and right orientation lead to correct functioning and the sure avoidance of the left-hand path. Somehow this is a very important section. This is a lesson little appreciated by aspirants. They engage in emotional desire for the appearance of their thought form and the manifestation of the idea. They spend much time following the orthodox methods of work and in physical plane activities, which can manifest a thought form. Yes, indeed. They wear themselves out by identifying themselves with the form they have created instead of remaining detached from it. That's a big lesson. And acting solely as the directing agents. So you might say debilitating. Why don't I get this correctly? Debilitating hands-on attitude. They need to learn to work from the plane of mind. Build their your form. Learn to work from the plane of mind. Build their your form, remembering that if you submerge yourself in the form for which you are responsible, it may obsess and dominate you, and then the form will be the dominant factor and not the purpose of its existence. So a strong warning not to submerge ourselves within the form we have created. When the form controls, then comes the danger that it may be turned in the wrong direction and find its way onto the left-hand path, and so increase the power of matter and its hold over sentient souls. And this was not what was intended. It might be briefly added that anything that tends to increase the power of matter and to add to the potent energy of form substance produces a tendency to the left-hand path and a gradual attraction away from the plan and purpose which it veils and hides. Well, we have here, what can we say, a number of warnings. So are we somehow too close to the forms we create? I mean, those of us who've been involved in creating organizations and, you know, works of art or books or whatever, you know, how immersed are we in our creations? And can our creations thereby be taken off the path for which they were intended and instead be used in a negative way? All work and all creative thought forms, whether they materialize as an organization, a religion, a school of thought, a book, or a life work of any kind, which express spiritual ideals and lay the emphasis upon the life aspect, come under the category of white magic. And here, you know, what can I say? A really, really good definition of white magic in relation to the form. So, good. Let's see. Good. Nope. I've got to be careful. Good definition of white magic as related to the form. All work and all creative thought forms and all of the following are creative thought forms, whether they materialize as an organization, a religion, a school of thought, a book, or a life work of any kind, which express spiritual ideals, which lay the emphasis upon the life aspect, come under the category of white magic. How clear that is, isn't it? Then they form part of the stream of life, which we call the right-hand path. And the right-hand path is a stream of life because it leads humanity out of form into life and away from matter into consciousness, though matter is redeemed upon this right-hand path. Though matter is redeemed upon the right-hand path. Oh, come on. Don't tell me I never did that one. Then I must do it. Must I not? Oh, I see. I did do it. And I did it in capital letters. Okay. In an ashram of one of the great ones not long ago, a disciple asked his master to express this truth to him in such a way that though the words might be few, yet the import would be worthy of continuous consideration. And his master made this reply: only the sons of men know the distinction between magic of the right and left-hand ways, and when they have achieved, these two ways will disappear. When the sons of men know the distinction which exists between matter and substance, the lesson of this epoch will be grasped. And I wonder if we are dealing here with the cosmic ethers and the dense physical body of the planetary solar logos. Other lessons will be left, but this one passes. Matter and substance together work out the way of darkness. Substance and proposed and purpose blended indicate the way of light. To me, well, you know, obviously, I would like to ponder on this, and I'm sure you would too. But I immediately think of I think of the cosmic ethers let's see, ETHS, and the dense physical body of the solar logos. In other words, I think of the lower three subplanes, of the cosmic physical plane, and the higher four. And I think that the work of this epoch is to treat the cosmic ethers as substance, and the dense physical body, the lower three subplanes, as matter inherited from the previous solar system, which has to be redeemed. So if we're going to work only in those lower 18 subplanes, or perhaps on occasion in the lower 21, we will be captivated by a great material deva, we are told, and we will not be working out the intended soul magic, white magic, divine love magic of our present second ray solar system. Obviously, there's a lot more that we could get into here as we think of it. But we have to have the experience. Eventually, I suppose we will make our way onto the cosmic astral plane. It is said that even there, some of the dark ones can be found in a cosmic form of black magic, but maybe not on the cosmic mental plane. But for all intents and purposes, matter is the lower 21 subplanes, and substance is the higher 28 subplanes of our cosmic physical plane. And I'm not sure what an epoch is. It seems like a long period of time. And this one will pass. As an earlier type of expression, we have to learn the difference between the 18 lower subplanes and the higher three mental planes. That gives us a kind of transitional spiritual work within the dense physical body of the solar logos, but building the antikarana, we have to move beyond and beyond it. Well, it's not that this book is always easy, is it? Not that this book is always easy. So let me just see where we are here. I think we're sort of at the end, you know. I think we began on page 265, and I'm going to just copy it this way to make it a little easier on myself for the moment to see. And then we'll be at the point when we can begin this amazing rule, rule 10. So we are already on page 271. And we, 265 to 271, and we're going to begin we're beginning 9.5. And here we have finished 9.4, rule 9, and we have finished program number 16, I do believe. Yes, we have. All right, friends, that'll be it for the moment, and we'll continue our work together when it proves possible to do so. Meanwhile, also work within the dense physical plane has to be accomplished now and then. So I'll get into this as soon as may be possible, send it to you, and so forth. All the very best, lots of love, study hard. See you later.